Can't Wait for Christmas is a proud member of the Christmas Podcast Network.
Hey, buddy, what you doing?
Is it Christmas yet?
No, sorry, not yet.
I can't wait for Christmas.
Yeah, I can't wait for Christmas either. In fact, let's celebrate now.
Welcome to the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast.
It's August 25th, 2026, and that means there's 4 months left until Christmas. Today on the show, we're going to find out that reindeer are much more than just the animals that pull Santa's sleigh. We'll also give you a recipe for a sweet Christmas pastry that's easy to make at home. We'll count down the top five overhated Christmas songs, and we've got the results from the first round of voting in Scroogeapalooza. Okay, let's start the show! Welcome to the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast, the podcast all about Christmas history, Christmas traditions, Christmas media, and everything else Christmas. I'm your host, stand-up comic, and guy whose sunburns are almost all healed, Tim Babb. Well, the fun part of summer is over, and folks here are back to school, which I know is a bummer for people who like the fun, carefree days of summer. But at least it does mean that we're that much closer to Christmas, right?
That's what you're going with? It's not summer anymore, but at least Christmas is still several months away?
You're right, imaginary listener. That kind of sounds like Kermit the Frog. Several months is not nearly soon enough. I need a little Christmas now.
We need a
admit, TikTok is not without its problems. The algorithm is designed to be addictive, there's plenty of really inappropriate content on there, and you'll get the most random songs stuck in your head.
Woolly mammoth and a mastodon!
Hey!
What's the difference? Prove me wrong!
I get it!
One is woolly and the other one is not!
Hey!
Woolly mammoth and a mastodon!
Hey!
What are you doing?
I'm showing how TikTok can get a song stuck in your head.
Would you stop this foolishness?
What foolishness would you like to see?
Just get to the point!
Oh, yeah, right. So, despite the pitfalls of TikTok, I do find a rare gem on there every now and again, and recently, I found a recipe for Christmas donuts that you can make at home. Now, the video didn't have any written instructions, so I found a separate recipe online at a site called KitchenFunWithMyThreeSons.com. Here's what you'll need. One 10-count can of biscuits. They use Pillsbury Grands in the video I watched, but you don't need to be brand-specific. One cup of sugar, 1.5 tablespoons of cinnamon, a good amount of vegetable oil for frying, and some Christmas cookie cutters. First thing, pop open that can of biscuits and use the cookie cutters to cut them into Christmassy shapes. Some shapes will work better than others, like the gingerbread man, the Christmas tree, and the candy cane, but I found the Santa head silhouette ended up looking just like a big blob. Also, after you finish using the cookie cutter and you pull away the Christmas shape and you have a bunch of leftover dough, you can mash all that together, flatten it out, and use the cookie cutter again, and just keep repeating that process until you just have a tiny wad of dough that you can just make into a little donut hole. Then you pour about 1/2 inch of oil into your pan and heat it up to medium or medium-high heat for about 5 minutes. And while you're doing that, I would mix together the sugar and the cinnamon. Then, after the 5 minutes, carefully drop your dough into the hot oil. Definitely need a parent or guardian around for this one, kids. Keep a close watch on it and flip it over when the dough turns golden brown. When both sides are browned, take it out of the oil and let them rest for like maybe a minute or two on a plate with a paper towel on it. Then press the dough into the cinnamon mixture. Now, I want to let you know a little secret. I have done several recipes on the show, but I haven't personally done all of them in my real life. I just find Christmas recipes and I think, that looks good, so I share them with you on the podcast. Sometimes I will try them long after I've recorded the episode, so I can't give you an actual review. Other times I will decide, nah, that actually looks too complicated, I will let actual chefs handle that, and I will just shove more mouthfuls of Kit Kat into my mouth. But let me tell you, I definitely did this one, my friend, and I have three important things to tell you. First, it was super easy. I thought it was going to be way more tricky to make this work than it was, but it was a total breeze. Second, halfway through the process, I had my doubts. I was watching the dough cook, and I was thinking, biscuits and donuts aren't interchangeable. What have I done? This is going to be a complete waste of food. But I filmed myself making this and eating the first one. I'll probably post it on TikTok and YouTube, but you can see my face when I take my first bite, and it's actually delicious. I don't know how frying biscuits in oil makes them donuts, and I don't need to know. All I need to know is it works, and it's super yummy. Finally, the very last line of the recipe says, serve warm. They are not lying. Do not let these sit around. Make them just before you want them and only make enough to eat in one sitting. I made way too many and let them sit around all day. And when we came back for them, they were less good. I even tried warming them up in the toaster oven. Still less good. These are good fresh, and then they are not as good. Just there you go. So I will put the kitchen fun with my three sons.com recipe and the TikTok video in the show notes at can'twaitforchristmaspod.com, and I really recommend you try this one out if you like donuts and or churros. But now it's time for our countdown feature, five golden things. Podcast is all about positivity. It's not like I started a podcast to spend over a decade saying, here's all the things I hate about Christmas. But elsewhere online, you will find people who seem to have that goal. Every year, it seems, there's a whole bunch of listicles that come out of the worst Christmas songs. And I get that taste is subjective. Not everyone will like every song. Heck, there are some Christmas songs that I don't particularly care for. But there are some songs that keep showing up on these lists that feel unjustified to me. So, as a self-appointed arbiter of good and bad Christmas music, I now humbly present to you my top five overhated Christmas songs. Starting with...
Number 5.
Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney.
Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
Actually come around on this song. Years ago, before I started this podcast, I did a blog post of Christmas songs I skip, and this was on the list. At the time, I said, this has all the saccharine sweetness overload of It's a Small World with none of the charm. Plus, the musical accompaniment is the part of the 80s that nobody misses. I reread those words, and I know I wrote them, but I just don't hear the song that way anymore. First of all, who was I kidding trying to diss It's a Small World? I love that song, I have always loved that song, I don't know who I was fronting for. And when you really listen to the lyrics, they're pretty good. The party's on, the spirit's up, we're here tonight, and that's enough. See, it's enough that we're here and we're celebrating together. That's all we need to have a simply wonderful Christmas time. Yes, it's an overly positive song about being happy at Christmas, but why wouldn't you want a Christmas song to be happy? I've seen this voted number one on several lists of bad Christmas songs, and that is crazy. While past me can clearly understand why it would make somebody's list, present me certainly doesn't believe it is anywhere close to being the worst Christmas song.
Number 4.
Santa Baby, Madonna.
Ba-do-ba-do, Santa Baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on a phone, Santa Baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight.
Now, actually, I've seen all versions of this song called out as bad. Michael Bublé's and even Eartha Kitt's. Something about the brazen greed of the singer seems to hit the wrong note with some people. But Madonna's version seems to get the most flack for being overly sexualized, which, sure, that's a valid interpretation of the sound of the song, especially when you consider some of Madonna's other work, but it also seems like she's just doing an 80s version of the old Betty Boop cartoon. She even sings Boop Boop-a-Doop in there at one point. This is another one where I get the issues people have with it, I just think they are too hard on this song, and this version specifically.
Number 3.
Feliz Navidad, Jose Feliciano.
Ha-ha! Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad.
This song is a victim of its own success, like another song we'll hear about later in this countdown. People tend to wrongly assume this is a Mexican Christmas song, but Jose Feliciano is from Puerto Rico. Because this is the go-to Spanish Christmas song they play on the radio, it gets played a lot. And because it's already a really repetitive song, it only has one verse and a chorus that repeats over and over and over, it can feel even more repetitive if the radio, stores, and even commercials keep playing it again and again and again. But it's not a bad song. And it really is fun to sing, in my opinion. Yes, it only has 19 words in the entire song, but on the other hand, it's not hard to memorize, even if you don't speak Spanish.
Number 2.
Jingle Bells, Don Charles and the Singing Dogs. Okay, I was not aware that anyone hated this song until I was looking into it, but worst lists are full of these novelty Christmas songs for some reason. I don't really get it. The whole point of novelty Christmas songs is to be kind of quirky and goofy. Yeah, Dominic the Christmas Donkey and I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas are silly, but not every Christmas song has to be a somber, reverent, silent night. It's okay to have a little fun. And this one particularly. I love dogs, and I love jingle bells. Why wouldn't I want to hear them together? I don't get why this is offensive to people. It's just Jingle Bells, but sung with dog barks.
Honorable mentions.
All I Want for Christmas Is You, Mariah Carey. Quintessential Christmas song that's a victim of its own success. This thing is a juggernaut every holiday season. It's played everywhere. You cannot escape this song, and that's part of its downfall. There's a contingent of people who have just heard it too many times and they are sick of it. And I get it, I just disagree. Maybe I don't want to hear it as many times as it's shoved down our throat over the Christmas season, but I do want to hear it. It's still a great song. It's a juggernaut for a reason.
Number one.
Christmas Shoes by New Song.
Sir, I wanna buy these shoes.
Psych! This song deserves all the hate it gets. The fact that it's not number one on every list of bad Christmas songs mean these people clearly don't know what they're talking about.
Didn't you say this podcast is all about positivity?
Oh, did you want me to play the rest of the song?
Huh?
Did you want me to play the rest of the song?
No.
That's what I thought. Moving on to our actual number one.
Number one.
Do They Know It's Christmas? Band-Aid.
Well,
I did a whole episode on this song 10 years ago next month, so I'm very familiar with the arguments against this song. The song feels like it's one big guilt trip. The "thank God it's them instead of you" line is spectacularly cringy, but the one criticism I see most is people fundamentally misunderstanding the song. People seem to think that the song is asking about Ethiopians, do they know it's Christmas? It's a stupid question, especially given the majority of the people in the country are Christians. But I don't think that's the question being asked, at least not in that way. I remember the footage of Ethiopia from back then. A lot of these people lived in miserable conditions every day. When you're struggling for survival, revelry and frivolity are not going to be part of your daily existence. So the question was not, do they know what day it is? It's, with all they are going through, is the warmth and love of the Christmas spirit even making it to them? Do they even know it's Christmas right now? Or does it just feel like another miserable day to them? That's why we have to help. I don't know, that's just my read on it. And I saw this near or at the top of too many bad Christmas song lists. And, as I've already said, if Christmas Shoes isn't at the top of your bad Christmas songs list, your whole list is invalid. Well, that's my list, which I say is valid until someone tells me otherwise. How about you? Do you have any Christmas songs that you think everybody hates on too much? Send them to me at can'twaitforchristmaspod@gmail.com. But before you start typing, let me just say, if any of you are about to defend Christmas Shoes, I will turn this podcast around and we will go home. Not really, I'd actually love to hear from someone who genuinely likes this song. I don't really want to yuck your Christmas yum. Much like someone putting pineapple on their own pizza, it affects my life in zero ways. Go nuts. And now a word from one of the other podcasts in the Christmas Podcast Network.
Merry Christmas, everybody, from Gallatin, Tennessee. Welcome to Christmas Every Day. This is the podcast that keeps the spirit of Christmas alive all year long. My name is Troy, and I'm your host. So we release a new episode almost every Friday of the most random Christmas news, stories, music, and more, as well as reaction videos on the Christmas Every Day YouTube channel. So Christmas really never has to end. Starting every Monday in September and October, we release the Naughty List, where we call out two or more holiday offenders who are cramping our Christmas style. Then in November and December, we release the Nice List every Monday to spotlight two or more things that we love about the best season in the world. Thank you so much for checking in with us in celebrating Christmas every day, and from our family to yours, Merry Christmas.
Welcome back. Now, you know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner and Blitzen, but outside of the Big Eight and Rudolph, do you know reindeer? If not, you soon will, because today we're gonna get out in nature and learn about reindeer.
Reindeers are better than people. Sven, don't you think that's true?
Yeah, people will beat you and curse you and cheat you. Every one of them's bad, except you.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Now, to be clear, we're talking about general reindeer, not Santa's team. Those are clearly special, magical, claws-tastic reindeer that play by their own rules. For example, Santa's reindeer are almost always described with male pronouns, which is all fine and dandy until you learn that reindeer are unique among deer, and that they are the only deer species where the female deer also have antlers. But here's the thing, they don't keep their antlers all year. Typically, males drop their antlers in the late fall, leaving them without antlers until the following spring, while females keep their antlers through the winter until their calves are born in late spring. So if Santa's reindeer have antlers in December 25th, they would be lady reindeer. But the antlers are typically shown to be pretty large, and it's the males who have the larger antlers up to 51 inches, whereas the females usually tap out at about 20 inches. In fairness, they use them for different things. Males use their antlers to fight predators and to woo the females because, you know, nothing gets the ladies fired up like seeing a dude with two big branches stuck to their skull. So either Santa's reindeer are males who've kept their antlers way too long or females who have somehow grown massive antlers. Or Santa has bred a special subspecies of reindeer which plays by their own rules. And that actually makes the most sense because every year kids leave out milk and cookies for Santa and often carrots for the reindeer. Unfortunately, regular reindeer don't eat carrots. Reindeer eat mosses, herbs, ferns, grasses, and the shoots and leaves of shrubs and trees. There's one particular moss that is one of the few that grow in harsh winter months that reindeer eat so much it's called reindeer moss. Oh, also, here's another pretty big difference. Regular reindeer don't fly. So it's safe to say Santa's reindeer are in a class all by themselves, so we'll be focusing on the reindeer that live among us mortals. Oh, and if you're picturing what reindeer look like based on the Rankin-Bass Rudolph special, you have the completely wrong picture in your head. Rudolph and the gang look way more like white-tailed deer than reindeer in that special. Apparently, this issue goes all the way back to the first time Rudolph was written about. Robert May was the first one to write about Rudolph in a Montgomery Ward booklet that was handed out for free in 1939. Apparently, Ray's daughter Barbara really loved the deer at the Lincoln Park Zoo. So that became the inspiration for Rudolph's look when he described it in the book. And now multiple generations think reindeer look like regular deer. But they do not. Reindeer legs are thicker than deer legs, and they have thick, dense fur, and that fur also covers their nose. Speaking of the nose, that's one of the fantastical things we hear about one of Santa's reindeer that's actually true of regular reindeer as well. Some reindeer actually do have red noses. It comes from a cluster of blood vessels. Scientists think it's to supply blood and regulate body temperature in extreme environments, but it combines with the hair in the nose to do something amazing, actually heat the air before it reaches the reindeer's lungs. Sometimes the air they're breathing is more than minus 40 degrees, but by having the hairs and the blood vessels where they are, they actually heat up the air by as much as 70 degrees by the time it hits their lungs. Those red noses aren't just for show, my friend. Speaking of color, reindeer change the color of their eyes. In the summer, they have gold eyes, but in the winter, their eyes are blue. See, in the Arctic, they have really bright summers and very dark winters. To see in those dark winters, the reindeer's pupils remain dilated all winter. Apparently, this causes increased pressure in the eye that compresses the structure of the tapetum lucidum, which squeezes fluid out between the tapetum lucidum's collagen fibers, and they become more tightly packed. That's why they reflect only blue light in the winter.
Did one of your kids do a science presentation at school and you just stole it for this podcast?
Oh, I'm sorry if I find a reindeer's color-changing eyes interesting.
I'm sure you're fun to talk to at parties.
And that's not the only cool thing about their eyes.
I'm gonna go see if there's any more of those Christmas donuts left.
Reindeer can also see ultraviolet light. And while, as yet, they don't use this ability to help CSI find evidence at crime scenes, they do use it to find food and spot predators. That reindeer moss I mentioned earlier is pretty light in color, so it can easily blend in with the snow in the winter. But with their special UV eyes, reindeer can see it as black against the white snow. Similarly, one of their predators, Arctic wolves, have white fur to blend in with the snow. But that fur also reflects ultraviolet light, so the reindeer can spot them from further away. Speaking of wolves, reindeer are a bit like the Marvel character Wolverine with his retractable claws. Except, they're not claws, they're hooves, and they don't really retract, it's the pads beneath the hooves that retract, and wolves aren't even related to wolverines. Basically, I botched this whole segue, but you know, we're here now, let's just make the best of it. Basically, like their eyes, reindeer hooves change with the season. In the summer, the pads of their hooves swell to grip the soft, grassy ground. But in winter, when the ground is slippery and frozen, the pads retract, exposing the sharp edge of their hooves. They grow their own spiked hiking boots! Another winter adaptation they have is their fur. In winter, they have two layers of it, an inner layer of soft, dense fur, and an outer layer of long, coarse hair that is actually hollow inside, kind of like Carl.
I heard that!
The hollow fur traps air in it and acts as insulation for the reindeer. Reindeer are actually pretty impressive from the very beginning, right when they're born. Most deer species, when they are babies, have spots. This is thought to be so the herd, and especially the mother, can find them easily if they fall behind the herd. But reindeer calves are not born with spots. And they can stand on their own within an hour. In a few hours, they can keep up walking with their mom, and a few hours after that, they are running at full speed. And full speed for a reindeer is no joke. They can reach speeds of up to 50 miles an hour, and they can cover 30 miles a day when they're moving. They travel in herds of 10 to tens of thousands, depending on the season. Now, you may have caught that I referred to the baby reindeer as a calf, not a fawn. That was actually on purpose. The males are called bulls and the females are called cows. This is because reindeer are the only species of deer that have been domesticated like livestock. For over 3,000 years, folks have been using reindeer for meat, used their hides for clothing, and even used them for transportation. Santa's not the only one who uses them to pull sleighs. And this domestication leads us to our last bit of confusion. You see, in Europe and Asia, these animals are simply known as reindeer. But in North America, the same animal is called caribou. Unless they're domesticated, then they call them reindeer. But according to science, they're all the same animal, or at least they were. Now, because of selective breeding going on in domesticated reindeer, some variations between these animals are starting to become apparent. But as of this recording, scientifically, they are all classed as one animal. If you need a helpful way to remember that, I got you covered. Reindeer and a caribou.
Hey.
Can't tell the difference. How about you?
I get it.
One is wild and the other's in the zoo.
Hey.
Reindeer and a caribou.
What was that?
Oh, I try to end these things with a clever parody to sort of tie things up.
I think you need to re-examine your definitions of both parody and clever.
Okay, harsh.
I thought you'd at least bring it back around and make some sort of connection to Christmas, not just a reference to a trending TikTok video that you had to shoehorn in the beginning of this episode just to make sure your audience got the reference.
You're really demystifying the process.
This is not even up to your usual low bar of parody songs.
Okay, so you want to parody a more well-known song and maybe bring sort of a connection with it. I gotcha.
I cannot be here for this. I am not trying to get sued.
Why aren't there very many songs about reindeer and all the cool things they can do? Reindeer change eye color, heat the air with their noses, and they have special retracting hooves. Right after they're born, they can run fast as lightning, and their eyes can see light that's UV. Someday we'll find it, the reindeer connection, the believers, Santa and me. Fa la la dee da da doom, fa la. And now it's time to hear from you in our final segment, Scroogeapalooza.
I'm so ready to have fun!
It's time to pick the one Scrooge to rule them all. It's Scroogeapalooza!
For the rest of the year, we're asking you to help us with a bracket-style elimination contest to pick the ultimate portrayal of Ebenezer Scrooge. Each month, you will vote and decide who moves on to the next round. Then, at the end of the year, we will crown the King of the Counting House. But before we get to part two of round one, let's hear the results from our first round of voting.
It's a game of prize for being the winner would be him.
Alistair Sims said Bah Humbug to Guy Pearce, 91% to 9%. Seymour Hicks left Ross Kemp in Christmas Past, 78% to 22%. Will Ferrell said good afternoon to his spirited co-star Ryan Reynolds, 65% to 35%. Susan Lucci won the battle of the gender-swap TV movie Scrooges against Tori Spelling, also 65% to 35%. And in a very animated battle, Jim Carrey beat out Tim Curry, 59% to 41%. When it was the Fonz versus Frasier, Henry Winkler beat out Kelsey Grammer, 62% to 38%. Patrick Stewart was able to take a victory and make it so against Jack Palance, 97% to 3%. And finally, the biggest story of this round, Michael Caine was able to overcome the fact that I misspelled his name on the survey and came away with a 97 to 3% victory over Luke Evans. Now, before I get into this round's matchups, I did want to read a couple listener emails to clear things up about who will and won't be in this competition. This first one is a comment from our favorite Russian voice, Jeffrey, who you've heard in both A Bomb for Christmas and A Bomb for Christmas 2, Past, Present, and Future. He left this comment that reads, I want to nominate my best Scrooge and most faithful adaptation, BT-dubs. My vote is for Scrooge from the animated special A Christmas Carol, 1971. Alistair Sim, who will likely get votes for his famous movie version, does the voice of Scrooge. Directed by Richard Williams, meaning he hand-drew the base images, and executive produced by Chuck Jones, Bugs Bunny, The Grinch, et al., is the most faithful telling of the tale. Unfortunately, at about 30 minutes, it's more like the Cliff Notes or Greatest Hits. The whole thing was drawn by hand, and it is excellent. It even won the Oscar for Best Short Subject. If you are a fan of the story, as you probably are if you're listening to this podcast, you have to see this. Available on Tubi. Thank you, Jeffrey. Now, before I address what you said in that comment, I want to also read this email I got from Jeff, which is, in fact, a totally separate person. I need to throw a particular Scrooge's hat in the ring, one that I really don't see people talk about very often, although a listener named Art referenced it in episode 59, so I know I'm not completely alone. My favorite is Patrick Stewart, but not the 1999 made-for-TV movie of A Christmas Carol, but love that one too. My favorite is the 1991 Patrick Stewart performs Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. It's a one-man play with Patrick Stewart voicing all the characters, all the narration, and even the sound effects when necessary. I know I'm biased here because I grew up with this cassette, sorry for making some of us feel old, but of course you can find it on YouTube now. It's just a little under 2 hours long and I highly recommend it. I love this recording because I think Scrooge feels the most believable in the confines of this story. So many versions of Scrooge make him feel like almost a caricature of the character, almost like a cartoon surrounded by real people. You know, kind of the opposite of Michael Caine being one of the only people surrounded by the Muppets. And now that I'm typing this, I sure hope people nominate Michael Caine. Otherwise, I'll need to throw that hat in the ring too. But come on, this is the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast. The Muppets are pretty popular here, so I'm sure he'll be mentioned many times. Thank you, Jeff. Now, to address that last point first, yes, Michael Caine did get nominated and even won his first matchup despite my big fat typo fingers. Secondly, and this is directed at both Jeffrey and Jeff, I decided it would be too confusing to put two different performances by the same actor in the competition. Plus, there are only so many spots in this contest. I had to leave some names off the list as it was. Sorry, Maureen Banks from Barbie and A Christmas Carol. And I would have had to cut two more Scrooge performances if Patrick and Alistair got two spots in the competition. So, if an actor played Scrooge more than once, I just picked the more popular or more widely known performance. But that doesn't mean you can't consider their additional go-rounds of Scrooge when voting. So, thank you to Jeffrey and Jeff for writing in, and let's see which skin flints you'll be voting for today. Albert Finney in Scrooge from 1970 versus Walter Matthau from The Stingiest Man in Town TV special 1978.
Humbug!
Reginald Owen from A Christmas Carol 1938 versus Sterling Hayden, Carol for Another Christmas TV movie 1964.
Come back.
George C. Scott in A Christmas Carol 1984 versus Christopher Plummer, The Man Who Invented Christmas 2017.
Come back.
Cicely Tyson, Mrs. Scrooge TV movie, 1997, versus John Carradine, A Christmas Carol TV movie, 1947. Bill Murray in Scrooge, 1988, versus Vanessa Williams, A Diva Christmas Carol TV movie, 2000.
Humbug.
Tom Everett Scott, Carol's Christmas, a TV movie from 2004, versus his co-star, Wallace Shawn, also from Carol's Christmas TV movie, 2004. Alan Young as Scrooge McDuck in Mickey's Christmas Carol, 1983, versus Simon Callow, A Christmas Carol, 2018.
Humbug.
Jim Backus as Mr. Magoo from Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol TV special 1962 versus Ernest Borgnine as Carface Carruthers and All Dogs Christmas Carol 1998. And that's it. The polls will be open until September 24th. You can find the link at can'twaitforchristmaspod.com or on our threads, Blue Sky, or Facebook. It's totally anonymous. You don't have to sign in or sign up for anything. You just have to choose which Scrooge gets sent to Christmas past and which one goes to see Christmas future in Scroogeapalooza.
Scroogeapalooza!
And that's our show. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to head to can'twaitforchristmaspod.com or check the show notes to see the recipe for the surprisingly easy Christmas donuts and, of course, to vote in part two of round one of Scroogeapalooza. Okay, the next time we talk, it will officially be the Burr months. So hang in there. Christmas is coming. And until next time, you believers, keep laughing all the way.
And that was Christmas
1983.
Actually, Dad, it's 2026.
Oh.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to us at Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, if you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, aka iTunes, and email us about it at christmas@tancast.com, we'll send you a free Can't Wait for Christmas sticker. If you'd like to see the show notes or leave a comment on this or any other episodes, you can go to our official website, can'twaitforchristmaspod.com. While you're there, you'll find a link to our official Zazzle store, where you can grab customizable t-shirts, ornaments, stickers, and all sorts of other Christmas-themed items all year long. We'd love to connect with you on social media. On Blue Sky, we are at Christmas Pod, and on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads, we are at Can't Wait for Christmas Pod. We Wish You a Merry Christmas was performed by the United States Marine Corps Band, and this amazing version of Jingle Bells on the accordion was performed by the wonderful and talented Christian Nowicki. All other music and sounds used in this episode are the properties of their individual copyright holders, and they are used for purposes of commentary and review. No infringement is intended. Okay, boys, did I forget anything?
God bless us, everyone.
Merry Christmas!
One 10-count can of biscuits. They used Pillsbury grounds in the video I watched, but you... Grounds, not grounds. They didn't use grounds. You don't want to put coffee grounds in your donuts, if you can help it. One cup of sugar. One... I need to have my glasses on. I cannot read without my glasses, and it's becoming a problem. Hey, there are words. Look at that. But now it's time for our countdown feature, Five Golden Things. Why do I sound like I'm announcing monster trucks? So this podcast is all about positivity. It's not like I started a podcast to spend over a decade saying, here's all the things I hate about Christmas. No, I don't want to do a Kermit the Frog voice when I'm... There's plenty of Kermit the Frog voice in this episode, I'll let you know. I mean, faux Kermit, not quite Kermit the Frog voice. He wishes he was Kermit the Frog voice. That's the voice you're gonna hear.
Hey,
you know what's up. I reread those words, and I know I wrote them, but I just hear the song, I just don't. I forgot the word don't, so otherwise this sentence doesn't make sense if you don't put the don't. If you don't, then you won't don't. Jingle Bells, John Charles and the Singin' Dogs. The Singin' Dogs. Why did I emphasize singing in that way? Don Charles and the Singing Dogs. John Charles and the Singing Dogs. Don Charles and the Singing Dogs. Don Charles and the Singing Dogs. Don Charles and the Singing Dogs. There, I've emphasized every word in the sentence. One of them has got to be right. Apparently, this causes increased pressure in the eye that compresses the structure of the tapetum lucidum, which squeezes fluid between the tapetum's lucidum and the... Oh my gosh. This is what it must be like to be on Star Trek. Which squeezes fluid out between the tapetum lucidum's collagen. Jiminy Christmas, I didn't know what that word is. Which squeezes fluid out between the tapetum lucidum's collagen fibers, and they become more tightly packed. That's why they reflect only blue light in the winter. Should I try that one more time? I feel like I probably pooched it. I don't want to get into the quagmire of this sentence again, because I may never come out. This may be the last you hear of me. I try and say the sentence again, and then where's Tim? He's still saying a sentence. That's all he does now. He just says this sentence. Apparently, this causes increased pressure in the eye that compresses the structure. I didn't even get the word structure right. See, I told you. I shouldn't have gone back for the sentence. Which squeezes fluid out between the tapetum lucidum's collagen fibers. Collagen. Alistair Sim said bah humbug to Guy Pearce 30. No, that's clearly a 9. I don't know why I said 30. Then when it was the Fonz versus Frasier, Henry Winkler. Why is that hard to say? Then when it was the Fonz versus Frasier, Henry Winkler beat out Kelsey Grammer. I didn't put the percentages. Now I have to look it up real time, real time. Now I have to look it up and waste a little more time. I want it to be done. There's more work for me to do. When it was the Fonz versus Frasier, Henry Winkler beat out Kelsey Grammer 62%. Patrick Stewart was able to take a victory and make it so against Jack Palance 37. No, that's a 9, Tim.